Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
When you do a podcast, as we have now for about 60, 70 episodes or so, I have to double check the exact number. You think that you're starting to get things together. You're starting to develop a plan. Everybody goes into things with a plan. But then I believe it was Mike Tyson, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Chris, or one of our listeners listening live. Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face, and that's exactly what happened to the Memphis Grizzlies and their fans today as the news broke by Ron Tillery of the Memphis Commercial Appeal that Mark Gasol has a broken foot and is out indefinitely. In the article itself, it says that the season is in question. He may not be back until 2016-17, and that cold shiver that just went up and down your spine is the realization that this season, for all intensive purposes, with regard to a 5 seed competing with the Clippers, maybe getting to the second round, is over. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, and I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and I'm joined, as I mentioned briefly earlier, by the managing editor of grizzlybearblues.com. We have a breaking news bit up on the site as we speak. If you're listening to the live show or if you're listening to the archive podcast, this will be a continuing developing story. As we move forward, make sure grizzlybearblues.com is your place to check it out. And Chris, this is not what Grizzlies fans wanted to hear today. Sorry about that, Chris. Back now. That is not what fans wanted to hear today.
Joe, I'm glad that you just muted out all the sobbing that was going on.
Yes,
before.
That is why you were unmuted at first. You were sobbing, and it was uncontrollable. So I wanted to make sure that I brought you back. Sorry about that, buddy. But, yeah, this is not what fans wanted to hear here.
No. And it's been a very emotional past couple of hours that is well documented. All over the internet, and it's very understandable. This will be the first time that the Grizzlies are going into the latter half of the season without a purpose or aspirations for a title. Even as they were with Marc Gasol playing. They were, minuscule percentiles of such things anyway. But now it's, now there is no really debate about it. And hopefully the Grizzlies themselves are going to be honest with themselves about what this means for them and for the season. Obviously they know how important Mark is to what they do. So this is a pivotal moment, Joe, for the franchise. This will be one of those historic days that we always talk about down the road and remember. And it'll have very lasting consequences on things. And it could be the end of some things. And it's pretty abrupt. It's a lot to take in. I still haven't really taken it in. You can, it's easy to kind of divert your attention from what it really means because there's so many other aspects of the game and the heck the city that it affects. So we'll be parsing this apart for a long time, I think.
You're exactly right. That is exactly right. This has long-term effects. It's not just the trade deadline. It's not just this season. It's long-term, and we'll talk more about that here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live momentarily. Ways you can get in touch with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, at GBB Live. By all means, please tweet at us. Send us a message. Send us a shout. We want you to be a part of the process here, especially on this breaking news edition of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Literally just hours ago, this bomb was dropped on Twitter and the internet, and then, of course, most importantly, on the Memphis Grizzlies organization. You have a sneaky suspicion they knew something like this was coming. Dave Yeager was very coy in his post-game presser about it. Got to get the MRI, got to get the results, and unfortunately they were not good for Memphis. So follow GBB Live, interact with us there. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joe Mullinax, M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X, and you can follow our managing editor over at grizzlybearblues.com, Chris Faulkner, at Faulkner, F-A-U-L-K-N-E-R, Memphis. Plan for the show. Again, I try to be organized and have an outline prepped for our Tuesday recording here. This will be our last show before the trade deadline next week, so we're going to talk a lot about that, talk a little bit about the All-Star game. But, of course, you have to adapt or die when it comes to breaking news, and Marc Gasol's injury will be the major focus of our program tonight, both with Chris Faulkner and with, in the second segment, Ben Hogan of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis's Eric Hasseltine show. We're excited to have Ben back on the program. And we'll talk a little bit about some other things, what this means for guys like Ryan Hollins, who essentially now is guaranteed a year contract, at least through the end of this season, with the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll talk about Brandon Wright, who is anticipated to be back after the All-Star break, that first game or so back from the break. They're hoping to have Wright back. And you'd imagine he jumps right in, barring a trade, right into that starting role as the starting center for these Memphis Grizzlies. So you're going from a guy who you really don't know a ton about because of the injury that he sustained early in the year. Now he's someone who literally your entire season, at least in terms of seeding, nobody anticipates them beating the San Antonio Spurs, Golden State Warriors, or hell, even the Oklahoma City Thunder. So if Memphis is a 6, 7, or 8 seed, they're done regardless. It's down to the 4 and 5 and trying to get out of the first round, trying to get that matchup with the Clippers. And that's looking like it's a pipe dream at the moment due to the fact that Memphis is struggling or likely to struggle without Marc Gasol. But Brandon Wright will be a focus. We'll talk about Ryan Hollins, and, of course, we'll talk about Marc Gasol's short-term and long-term impact on this episode. And the trade deadline is something we'll cover here in a moment, Chris, but I promised a hot take, and here it is. And it's kind of terrifying. I reached this realization. I was talking with a good friend of mine, David Parker, from Memphis, still in Memphis. And, you know, he kind of spoiled my thought. We were on the same wavelength as we are with most things, whether it's Grizzlies or life, my good buddy Dave. And he said 7'1".
Poor guy.
Yeah, exactly. You crazy bastard. 7'1", 300 pounds, broken foot. Tell me why I shouldn't be terrified. And I agree with that sentiment entirely, ladies and gentlemen. Because think about all of these injuries that, whether it's a Bill Walton, or whether it's a Yao Ming, or Joel Embiid, the names go on, and I'm sure folks can chime in on Twitter and give me others. Big men, whether it's a bad knee, or a bad ankle, or a bad foot, bad wheels. Mark is on the wrong side of 30 now. Chris, long term, this dude just signed a max contract. I'm going to need you to talk me off the ledge here on my hot. I'm terrified that this might become a recurring issue for Marc Gasol. I'm hoping I'm wrong. Hopefully he has, if it's a surgery, hopefully it's successful. If it's just rest, that would be good. They haven't had the details of the actual injury yet, so it might be, it's speculation that it's that kind of injury. But when I hear foot injury, and I hear, and I know that he's a 7'1", almost 300-pound center, that gives me massive cause for concern.
Yeah, it should. There's, The laws of physics would side with you, Joe. That's pretty plain and simple that way. We're talking about people who are, technically, if you're talking about 7 feet and above, they're classified as giants. I do believe they're a technically something other than what normal people are, and that you know, that has effects on the body, and it's shown, like you said, throughout a great many spectacular athletes in the NBA. It really has nothing to do with athleticism, Mark on being a very good example of that. But yeah, it is still early. It does not look good. I can't say that it won't have that it won't have lasting effects for Mark's career, but it is early, and knowing Mark, good Lord, he might staple his foot together and try to play in 6 weeks or something. You just never know, but and that's what's probably got him in the situation to begin with. It's looking like Brandon Wright is going to earn every bit of what he's being paid this season, even though he's only going to be playing about half of it. It's concerning to think about how the Grizzlies will approach this, because I could totally see them taking the stance of that they're going to remain as competitive as they possibly can to try and win the season, because they feel like they owe that to the fans and yada yada. Like, just I could see Chris Wallace bringing out some spiel that will hit with some fans who might still, you know, want to see the season out as best they can, who can't come to grips with what this really means. But I don't know, man. There is some track record here, but this is way different than even, you know, when Rudy went out right before the playoffs. We have built a mountain now, and we're at the top of the mountain, and the fall will be a lot different now so that we're at the top of the mountain compared to, you know, 5 years ago when we were just beginning to climb it.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. The voice that you heard before mine was that of Chris Faulkner, the managing editor over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. In our Grizzly Bear News segment, make sure you're following him on Twitter, @ Faulkner Memphis. In all of the craziness, Chris, I completely forgot our soundbite. Or if I didn't forget it, I just wanted to play it again because, goodness gracious, it is a news-filled day. And it's something that you hit the nail on the head there, Chris, in your beginning statement, the abruptness of it. Here's a team who just lost two games, and we'll talk a little bit about these games. They lost to Dallas. They lost to Portland. Two teams in the Western Conference playoff picture. They lost tough ones. You knew Mark was kind of hobbled. You knew other guys, you know, were kind of itching to possibly get to their break. Matt Moore last week talked about that on the show. You know, it's kind of like when you're on a vacation from work. You know, it's the week before vacation. You're thinking about other things. And that's an interesting perspective you got to keep in mind. These guys are human too. But, you know, this team was playing better. And this team still was solidly in the 5 seed in the Western Conference. This is a team who was one of the two outside of the Clippers, who are solidly the 4 seed right now, that would have a realistic shot at getting out of the first round if you subscribe to the theory that the Warriors, Spurs, and Thunder are just going to destroy everybody until they meet up with each other at some point in the playoffs. And now that kind of goes by the wayside, and it has led to a debate and a discussion, Chris, as to what should be the end game for this season and beyond. You know, there have been people talking about trading Mike Conley, which is absurd. I don't see that happening whatsoever at this point. There's been people talking about dropping out of the playoffs. I don't see that happening either. They would have to have a pretty steep fall in order for them to drop completely out of the Western Conference playoff picture.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
They are currently, let's see, they're currently, well, it's actually, they're 4.5 games in front of the 9 seed Portland Trailblazers right now. So Portland just beat them. I guess in theory Memphis could have a free fall, but that's not going to happen until you'd imagine mid-March. And by then, these other teams would probably have lost some games. Memphis still in a very cushy part of their schedule. It's possible, looking at the number, they're a lot closer than I thought they were to falling out. But at the same time, you know, they're five games solidly in the loss column in front of Portland for that last spot. It's hard to see them falling out completely. Now, realistically, they could easily fall to the 6-7 or even 8 seed. I think that could happen. But if you subscribe to that theory, they're only a half game. The 8 seed is only a half game in front of the 9 seed right now in the West. So I guess maybe it is more possible than originally thought. But people were talking about, do you trade a Zach Randolph for assets and then kind of free fall out of the playoffs so you lose your 2016 first round pick to the Denver Nuggets, who got it from Cleveland? And do you, you know, this draft is weak, so it's not necessarily as bad of a time to lose that pick. A lot of hypotheticals have been floating around, but we have to try, Chris, in the here and now, and this is what I'm going to try to do with you here in the last minutes of our segment, the first major bit of here and now, and then we'll preview the Brooklyn Nets game on Wednesday night, which feels like an afterthought at this point, but the Grizzlies have one more game before the All-Star break. How do you think they're going to get through this game in Brooklyn, which they still can realistically win without Gasol? Who do you think they're going to start? What do you think this team is going to look like with Marc Gasol out for the foreseeable future, at least before a trade deadline where a move may or may not happen?
I definitely think you'll see them probably play some inspired ball, if for nothing but to win one for the Gipper, that being Marc Gasol, since it is pretty definite, or it is indefinite technically, but he's going to be out, and they know that, and they know the reality of that. So I think that could play a role, especially against a team that's just like the for a team who's dealing with something like this right now. So, but as far as who they start, Dave Yeager loves Ryan Holland, so you can't rule out him getting 35 minutes a game now, I guess, until Brandon Wright comes back. Maybe, I guess, who knows? And as Andrew Ford's piece pointed out on the site this week, there is some usefulness to him, even though it looks like that he might not really have played basketball his entire childhood or in high school, maybe. I don't know. he doesn't look like he's athletic, that's for sure, but he does not look like a graceful basketball player. Maybe Dave gets crazy and starts, go small ball or something and starts Zach at the five and, Barnes at the four, or hopefully he doesn't, resort to putting Jeff Green and back with Zach in the starting lineup. That, I think that'd be the, if the Grizzlies wanted to tank, maybe that's the route to go, but hopefully we don't have to watch that for another couple of months. It really goes beyond just that, because of the role that Marc Gasol played on the court. He was the quarterback in many circumstances, and now it's probably going to be a little more freeform. I guess some guys are probably going to get a little bit of leeway for improvising. You could see Jeff Green start taking on an enormous role just for scoring sake, which is a little scary to think about. He did, have a really nice run, so we at least have that to hold on to, that, like, we have an example of him doing some pretty good things. So it's not as scary as it was, 2 months ago, I guess. But, it is scary, regardless of we were talking about stepping up to replace all the things that Marc Gasol does. So we're going to see what the rest of this team is made of. You know, not necessarily against Brooklyn. I think that's the one that maybe helps ease the pain a little bit going into the All-Star break. It'll be a long All-Star break with nothing really to look forward to Grizzlies-wise because they're have no role in the All-Star weekend. So we'll just be waiting for news and you know, but who knows what transactions could go down over that period. And I don't know. Here we go, Joe.
It's going to be crazy. And I think the Brooklyn game is going to be an interesting experiment in the short term here and now. Dave Joerger literally is going to have one true center in Ryan Hollins. He's going to have essentially two true bigs ready to go outside of a Jarrell Martin in Zach Randolph and Jamichael Green. And you could, you know, he earlier this season, whether jokingly or not, said that Jamichael Green is actually a small forward. So I guess in theory, he really has two legitimate bigs that are going to play. It's going to be interesting. Brook Lopez has been tearing apart the NBA. Now it's been in losses. Teams seemingly have been willing to allow Lopez to go off for Brooklyn and shut down everybody else, and Brooklyn has been losing while Lopez has put up these massive numbers. But it doesn't make you feel particularly good that your best player, who's your center, goes down. Brook Lopez, one of the best scoring offensive centers in the NBA, comes in. That makes you concerned. Before we move on to the trade deadline and the question of the day, Tillery just tweeted out, Ron Tillery over at the Memphis Commercial Appeal, just tweeted out, Grizz general manager Chris Wallace, in wake of Gasol injury, we are hoping to have Brandon Wright with us on court post All-Star break. He's progressed well. So a little bit of positivity there. And moving forward through this All-Star break, through the trade deadline, which is coming up here in the next week or so, Chris, this team was already possibly going to be sellers. There's a lot of folks, myself. Obviously, Matt Arlicka has put out some good work as well. Memphis should arguably have been sellers to begin with all of their wings, guys that could potentially help contenders. Maybe you could get a young talent back and, you know, a pie-in-the-sky kind of dream. Maybe a draft pick back, even if it's just a second, but you could get some sort of long-term asset in return for guys who, like a Jeff Green, Courtney Lee, who probably aren't going to be on this team in the future anyway. But the changes that have now occurred because of the Gasol injury, it really does throw up in the air what this team is going to do. You know, smart guys like Chris Harrington who are in touch with the team and kind of know how it works inside and out say that he doesn't expect it to change their philosophy too much. But you have to imagine that there has to be at least more phone calls being accepted than there may have been before. And the question of the day this week was, realistically, what do you want the Grizz to do roster-wise by the trade deadline? And here's some of the responses. We had, I don't think there's a realistic out there that makes them better, only different, from the amazing Matty B, a former producer of this program. Big Sim 50, at Big Sim 50, Justin Sims, thanks for listening, buddy. He says, you have to decide, are we all in for this year or plan for the future? Interesting question. Jonah Jordan, one of our contributors, also one of the worst question of the day responders, says, trade everyone, which I guess is, you know, realistic. Legendary GBB commenter chimes in and wants to add Jimmer and D. Rose. I don't know how realistic it is bringing those two into the fold. I guess Jimmer would be a little bit more realistic. At FlemDog1Hunna says, keep everything the same forever, which unfortunately can't happen due to injury. JJ Baker at JJ_P_Baker says, doubt any trades will happen, but I'd like to move both Jeff and Lee. Lee to OKC for Morrow and a pick. Jeff for Markieff Morris. Also in the idea of Lee to the Nets for Bogdanovich, and maybe a Willie Reed. Must see DC chimes in. I want at Must see DC. I want them to not sign Ryan, quote unquote, the bum Hollins. That's his words. For the remainder of the season, also try to flip expiring contracts for picks. I'm afraid Ryan Hollins will probably be sticking around given the news of the day. Kyle Whittington at KWit91 Says, with the Gasol injury, I realistically either want young contracts or draft picks for some of our expirings. And that's about everybody. So as I've talked about with Matt Arlicka in conversations and then in my own articles and Matt's articles, he and I are of the same mind, Chris. We think that they need to acquire contracts of younger players, or if it's not even necessarily a younger player, but a good value contract going into this rising salary cap. A Channing Frye, who's getting paid $8 million this season and next season, I believe, that might look a little bit more ugly right now than it will next year when that salary cap jumps. And Memphis doesn't have a ton of guys under contract for next season. If you bring in those kinds of pieces, you can round out a roster a little bit. So whether it's Orlando and Channing Frye and perhaps an Evan Fournier, Orlando is interested in trading for veterans, and Memphis has veterans up the yin-yang, so maybe they can convince the Magic to make some sort of deal with Vince Carter and Jeff Green. You know, there's other teams that are young that are looking for those kinds of wings. A team like Cleveland, maybe with a Timofey Mozgov who's falling out of consideration for the Cavaliers, maybe Courtney Lee for Mozgov, you know, covers up it's a Band-Aid for sure, and it kind of weakens your perimeter scoring without Lee. But at the same time, now you've got a starting lineup of, say, you know, Conley, Allen, either Barnes or Green, Randolph and Mozgov. You know, that puts you back in the playoffs, and that makes you possibly a 5 or 6 seed in the West still. You can tread water there and maybe still achieve your goals. But at the same time, how much does that really move the needle? So I'll ask the question to you, Chris. What in the world should Memphis do at this trade deadline now, given the Marc Gasol situation?
I wouldn't be upset if they tried to get anything of value for any of their expiring contracts, for sure. I wouldn't be upset if they really kind of dumped things and tried to not reboot, but at least, you know, try to take a glimpse into the future. If they do acquire, if they can acquire someone on a multi-year contract who, you know, is potentially a part of a plan, you know, I think I'd rather get that person in here now and see, you know, you're playing with house money at this point, as far as I'm concerned. So why not, you know, see if you can, you know, find traction and find chemistry with something that might be a part of the future down, you know, for next season and beyond. You know, Mike Conley's still here. Getting someone accustomed to Mike Conley still, you know, has, you know, a lot of long-term value, assuming that Grizzlies will re-sign him. So, you know, I can't say that I think that's what they'll do. I don't think that's what they'll do, but I wouldn't be upset at all if we really saw things, you know, shake up here. I would like to say still keep Zach and Tony, but, you know, if there's something that really will pay dividends, I'm not going to necessarily rule that out. So, yeah, that's where I'm at, Joe.
I think that it's important to keep in mind, and of course, a lot of this is speculation. There are still details being released. You'll see those coming in the coming days, whether it be national writers or whether it be Ron Tillery at the Commercial Appeal, the beat writer, Chris Harrington, Chris Vernon. All of these guys have great perspective, great access, and, you know, we as the bloggers, we're kind of a medium where we kind of instant react and that sort of thing. Obviously, here we have the SB Nation vehicle, so that helps us a good bit. As these details come out, it will become interesting to see where everybody lands in terms of what this roster is without Gasol. And I think this is a fascinating opportunity to really get into the minds of this Memphis Grizzlies front office and through action figure out just exactly what they see the future of this team as. Marc Gasol clearly is your max player. They made him the max player. That he's the guy you're building around. He's not there anymore. So how much do you believe in this, at least for this season? And let me, I know I was doom and gloom with the foot thing and Embiid and all that. That's speculation on my part. I don't know any more than anybody else on the foot. That's just a fear in my head right now that as of right now is irrational, and I hope it stays that way. Let's assume Gasol is back next season perfectly fine. what is this team going to look like? How are you going to put pieces around him and, assumingly, Mike Conley to make this team better? Does that include Zach Randolph and Tony Allen? Does that mean that they eventually move along? What is this team going to include in terms of young players? Outside of Jermichael Green doesn't really count. He's 25, 26 years old. James Ennis is in a similar boat. Jordan Adams is really your youngest, and Jarrell Martin are really your two young pieces. And if you miss the playoffs this year, there's a good chance that you lose that first-round pick, so you don't really have an opportunity to add another piece. What is the value? Where are you going in terms of the future of this franchise? This is a chance for them to possibly make a jump-starting move. I don't see it happening, though, Chris, because history tells us they're going to find a way to piece it together. When Rudy Gay went down or when another guy goes down, they bring in and this wasn't just Rudy Gay, but they'll bring in a Maurice Spates, They'll bring in a Spates, and he'll kind of be a stopgap. I believe that was when Zach went down, they brought in Mo. So they'll find pieces to kind of replace and keep the ship sailing. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. In my personal opinion, they should start making moves to, again, like I said, I agree with Matt Ardlicka. We've been on the same accord on this. Bringing in contracts that look rough at the moment, but long-term really aren't that bad of deals with the salary cap rising, and you fill out your roster for next year with guys that can provide spacing, that can provide ball handling on the wing like an Evan Fournier or somebody else of that ilk. You need basketball players that are able to create off the dribble, and Memphis doesn't have those consistently. This is your chance to say, hey, our best player is down. We hope he comes back next year, but this is our opening. We can start making some long-term adjustments to our vision for this team. That's what I'd like to see them do, Chris. I don't see it happening because history goes against it. I see some sort of Band-Aid move coming in the next week or so. Maybe not a Mozgov, but something similar to that, a big man that can kind of fill that void, be a net neutral kind of dude, and this team makes it as a 5 or 6 seed, and they're out in the first or second round, and we're right back where we started without any real assets or the ability to bring in a young player.
Joe, I'll say one thing. I hope that Hamed Haddadi has an updated passport because he's probably getting a call here soon.
Oh, man, Hamed Haddadi. My buddy Dave texted me that I mentioned earlier. My buddy Dave texted me a picture saying, I have the answer, and it was a picture of Hamed Haddadi dunking on fools. I wouldn't be overly surprised. He's obviously familiar with the city and the system. I don't know if Hamed Haddadi is the answer, of course, but
that would be the white flag, though. That would be
yes. It would be entertaining, and you might see a slight spike in crazy fans cheering wildly when Hamed comes in for his customary 8 to 10 minutes of game. But Hamed Haddadi, he's not the answer. I'm not sure the answer is out there. This season just got a lot more questions filled into it, Chris, and it's going to be a crazy week over on the site. I'm happy to have you kind of steering the ship as we try to cover this very, very, very much evolving situation as it unfolds. Mr. Chris Faulkner, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I look forward to talking to you in the future, buddy.
Yes, sir. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, this all got a lot more interesting then, and that's what I'll leave on.
Yes, the business has picked up, in the eternal words of good old Jim Ross from WWE announcing. The game has changed and business has picked up. Chris, I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Good night, Jim.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, that was Chris Faulkner, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you do not already do so, at FaulknerMemphis. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and I want to give a quick shout-out here to our wonderful sponsor, FanEssentials.net. How would you like to get $145 worth of NBA gear for just $35? $35, ladies and gentlemen. You might think that that is too good to be true, but I assure you it is not. It is possible, and you can achieve that over at FanEssentials.net. Check them out. All you have to do is subscribe, then pick your favorite team, and every month you get some sort of amazing gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing, amazing content, such as shirts, glasses, hats, a variety of great things, and they get it for you. Again, you don't have to pick it out. You can. I believe they have that option. They definitely do. where you can pick and choose, but you also, if you just want a box sent to you, you don't want to mess with having to pick out, you just give them your size, and they pick the stuff for you. It's fantastic. It makes for a great gift for any sports fan. Prices start at just $14.99. Make sure you're visiting fanessentials.net, wonderful sponsor of this program, and getting all of the information. Again, you're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and my next guest is a friend of the program. He's been on multiple times. I love talking Grizzlies basketball with him. He is the producer of the Eric Hasseltine Show on 92.9 FM ESPN in Memphis. He's going to have some interesting takes on this, as everybody else will. We'll try to get to some trade deadline and all-star talk as well with Mr. Ben Hogan. Ben, I hope you're doing better than the rest of Grizz Nation at this moment. How are you feeling, my friend?
Well, I mean, looking at the breakdown of the show and that you sent out to us a couple of days ago, it looks like a few of the questions are going to have different answers than I anticipated.
Yeah. I mentioned that at the beginning. You know, you try to be prepared. I try to be like you, Ben, and you know, all the other good producers out there, and try to send folks information so they're not blindsided by questions. And it just all goes to hell when your cornerstone franchise big man has a broken foot. And I want to start off with that real quick, Ben. Nobody's talked me off the ledge yet on Twitter or on Facebook or even, you know, people texting me. Nobody's talked me off the ledge, Ben, with this fear of mine that we have the 7-foot cornerstone big man of a franchise and he's got a broken foot. He's got a broken foot. The history does not look good on this, Ben. Talk me off the ledge, please.
I wish I could.
Crap, Ben!
Yeah, like you said, foot injuries are not good, especially when it comes to basketball and a 7-footer and a guy that, moves around a lot. And, you know, first year of his franchise contract, and it should be, I wish I could talk you off the ledge, but right now I just can't because, I'm not too confident in it right now either.
Oh, crap. So I have friends on the ledge. That's just great. At least I'm not alone in my despair. But it really does scare me, Ben. And, again, I can't state this enough. I have no insider information. Ben would be more likely to than me, and I doubt he has any at this point. That's pure speculation. We don't know if it's even that specific bone. We just know it's a mid-foot break, and we know that he's 7'1" and probably closer to 300 pounds at this point. And because of that, it's cause for pause. You have Joel Embiid, Bill Walton, Yao Ming, the list goes on and on of bigs who have had issues with their wheels and marks on the wrong side of 30. So hopefully he can buck that trend. Again, we don't know the specifics as of yet with regard to the injury. We wish Marc Gasol a very speedy recovery. And like you said, Ben, our first question on the outline was Marc Gasol's health sit or start on Wednesday. That question has been answered for us. He's clearly going to sit for a long time, unfortunately. So I will ask you what I asked Chris in the last segment. What do you think this lineup is going to look like with Marc Gasol out? You would assume that it means more minutes for Ryan Hollins, but does he start? Does Jeff Green slide in as a small ball four and you go small to start with Zach Randolph at the five? How do you think this team is going to play out the slate before the All-Star break in Brooklyn Wednesday night?
I think that we will see probably Zach get the start. I think they're going to go small ball. But also, I think Rod Tiller was saying that Brendan Wright should be back after the All-Star break. So you only have really one game to worry about. I mean, Brendan Wright's been out for most of the year, so you're going to have to work him back in, obviously. But, I mean, I don't even know. Maybe you just go small. You just start with Jeff Green, Matt Barnes. Maybe go Tony, Courtney, and Mike. I don't know. And you bring Zach off the bench, and you just try and outscore Brooklyn. You just try to run. You run as much as you can.
That's not a terrible idea, and it would be a one-game thing. And obviously, if you want to talk about a red flag game, this would be the definition of this is a chance for Dave Yeager to kind of throw traditional rotations out the window. You have a team that essentially has 2.5 bigs if you count Jamichael Green as half of a big, I wish he would play more, but for some reason Dave Yeager doesn't think he's quite large enough to do so. So you're looking at a team that's undersized as it is. Hopefully he will take advantage of that opportunity, give guys like Matt Barnes, Jeff Green, a lot of those minutes in that low post front court area, and you can really see this team run a little bit more, that hypothetical Yeager ball that we all assume due to, you know, context clues that Dave would really like to play. This is a chance for him to perhaps execute that, if for only one game.
Yeah, a little that vomit basketball he was talking about when he first came in as the head coach, that would be something to see against Brooklyn, because, I mean, Brooklyn's coming off a win last night. You know, they kind of got their confidence up, but they're not a really good team. So you could probably see what you – I think you have more talent than Brooklyn on the floor, even without Mark. So you do what you can just to try and survive for this one game. And then, like I said, Brandon Wright comes back after the All-Star break. You see what you have with that. He couldn't come back soon enough. But, you know, one of the questions on the rundown was, hey, do you think Ryan Hollins will stick around? My answer originally was going to be no. But I think he's probably going to be on the roster for the rest of the season.
Yes, I would agree with that at this point as well, Ben. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Our guest at this time is Ben Hogan, the producer of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis' Eric Hasseltine Show. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already, Grizzlies fans, at Not the Golfer. Still one of my favorite Twitter handles out there. So again, you put in this time to put in this outline, and then Marc Gasol ruins it. Clearly he doesn't care about that, nor should he. Again, speedy recovery to you, Mark. But we already covered the Ryan Hollins question as well. He's probably going to be on the team for the rest of the season because of the Gasol injury. So we'll skip down to Matt Barnes. And here's a guy who has brought a decent bit of drama, I think it's fair to say. The Derek Fisher situation, of course. And, you know, this is a guy that a lot of Grizzlies fans to this day love to hate. But low-key, I would argue, Ben, that he has been the best acquisition since Kosta Koufos. You remember the Memphis Grizzlies acquired Kosta on draft night. They traded him for Darrell Arthur, and I believe it was a second-round pick. And a healthy DA, no disrespect to Darrell Arthur, extremely fun, especially in that 2011 playoff run, the block and alley-oop sequence against the Spurs, one of the highlights of Grizzlery overall. But Darrell was just injured all the time in Memphis, especially towards the end. So I would say Kosta Koufos, that was a hell of a trade for the Memphis Grizzlies front office. But Matt Barnes is right up there in terms of value. Again, no offense to Giannis Timma, and shout out to John Hollinger, but you essentially gave up nothing to acquire a guy who is a key part of your rotation, who's hitting threes for you, who can defend multiple positions, and just brings an energy and a tenacity every night that hasn't been there consistently for Memphis this season. So how impressed have you been with the acquisition of Matt Barnes overall? And his role, you would imagine, just got a hell of a lot bigger now that Marc Gasol is out for the foreseeable future.
Well, yeah, I think it was a great acquisition. I know when he first got acquired, there was a lot of moaning and groaning because, why are we bringing in this guy? I hate Matt Barnes, you know? And, you know, yeah, he's had a few off-the-court situations, but I will say that some of the stuff has been kind of refreshing. You know, he's on our side now, so we cheer for the bad guy. We tend to, you know, we're a wrestling town. He's a heel that, you know, kind of switched sides, and we want to cheer for him now. And that's what we're doing. And when he comes off the bench, he started a few games as well, but when he comes off the bench, he gives you what he sees that he needs to do, whether it be score, knock down a three, or just play solid defense. He doesn't care to be the star on the court. He just wants to do what he can to help out. And he's one of those guys that has his teammates' backs. We saw towards the end of his tenure in Los Angeles, he kind of got tired of always having to have Chris Paul's back or Blake Griffin's back. You know, they're starting to fight, and he's having to finish them. I think he enjoys having a team like the Grizzlies around him, like a Tony Allen or Zach Randolph, that aren't afraid to mix it up a little bit. And he feels comfortable in his role, and he feels comfortable with the team he has around him. And I think that's allowed Matt Barnes to play just the type of game he wants to play and not do anything more. And he's not bringing anything less when he does come in.
He is what he is. He's comfortable in his own skin, and that's extremely valuable with any NBA franchise or any professional sports franchise for that matter. It is nice to see a guy who is comfortable being himself. And that sounds kind of silly, but at the same time, We live in an image-conscious society, Ben. It's the 21st century. People are on Instagram, Snapchat. We are a very selfish world when you think about it in terms of, look at me, look at me. Here's how I look. Look at me. Pay attention. Pay attention. Here's a guy who, I'm not saying he doesn't do that when you post an Instagram picture of yourself in response to the firing of Derek Fisher. You probably want a little bit of attention, but my point is he knows what he is and he doesn't give a damn if you like it or not. And that is nice to see. And that is one of those things that is very Memphis in its own way. And that is, again, whether it be Zach Randolph and his checkered past or whatever it might be, these guys come to Memphis and eventually they become beloved, and Matt may never become beloved. Matt is different than Zach. I understand that. But this is a guy who has a lot of Memphis qualities, and I think his most Memphis thing about him is the fact that he is who he is. He could give a crap less if you like it or not. He's authentic. Whether it's good or bad is up for debate, but he is authentic. You know where Matt Barnes is coming from night in and night out. And on the basketball court, that's usually a good thing, at least when it comes to effort.
Yeah, and even with his Christmas Instagram rant, or his New Year's Instagram rant, excuse me, you know, that was a little bit questionable, but you did see Grizzly fans coming to the defense of him saying, hey, you know, he's just letting it all out there, and it's nice to see, it's refreshing to see an athlete kind of wear his emotions on his sleeve, and that's what we want in our guys. You know, he's not fake. He goes out there and acts like he's going to act. You know, he's a normal dude. I mean, to a point, he's a normal dude, but he like you said, yeah, he acts like, you know, he is who he is. He doesn't fake it, and, you know, it shows on the basketball court as well.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Once again, the voice that you heard before mine was that of Ben Hogan, the producer, of 92.9 FM, ESPN Memphis' Eric Hasseltine Show. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and we're talking right now about Matt Barnes, who likely will see a larger role on the team with the news of the Marc Gasol injury. And it's been so crazy today, Ben, looking at all the responses about Mark and who's going to step up and what's going to happen to this roster. And there's been rumblings, and I shot one of these down from Josh Lloyd, I believe it was, who does a great fantasy basketball podcast. I believe it's part of the HP network or HP Basketball Network. And he said, you know, Mike Conley might get traded now, so you might want to look for Mario Chalmers. And I said, whoa. 99.9% sure Conley's not getting traded. All these rumors, even with the Gasol injury, I see it as very unlikely. However, the definition of max player, I think as it changes with the rising cap, I'm interested in your perspective on this. Do you see Mike Conley as a max player? Now, the rest of the league might see him as that, and he's probably going to get close to that just to keep him in Memphis. So that argument is moot. What I'm asking is, do you think he is worthy of such a contract, or do you think that he is getting paid that amount because that's what the market is going to dictate, not because that's what his skill set dictates for Memphis?
I don't know if he necessarily should get a max contract, and I don't know if the thing with Mike is he's a max contract player to the Grizzlies. If you look at the other free agents out there and the point guard, there's no one like Mike Conley. I think he's going to get a max contract just because he's Ben Schwartz's the best option out there. And also with Mark now out for a good amount of time, Mike kind of had his coming out party. He was a scorer last night, and we haven't seen that very often from Mike this year, and it couldn't come at a better time because this is now Mike's team. This is Mike's team the rest of the season. We can talk about who's going to take Mark's place in the lineup, but when it comes down to it, Mike has to be the guy. Mike has to be the leader. Mike has to be the captain, and we'll find out exactly what type of player, whether it's a max contract or not a max contract player, Mike is before the end of this season.
You're exactly right about that. This is Mike Conley's team now, and this is his chance. This is an audition. And whether you want to give him an excuse, or not an excuse, excuse is a strong word, but a reason for his slow start, the facial injury that surely would slow down all of us, he's been trying to play professional basketball with it, whether it's, you know, just getting used to Gasol and Randolph and getting back into the groove, whatever the reason, now is his chance to shine. Like you said, Ben, this is his, I am a max guy. He can make that pronouncement in the eyes of the world. No more of this, the best player who hasn't been to an all-star game. All that's out the window. This is my team. for the next 4 months, if we get through June somehow. At the very least, the next 3 months, this is
right.
My basketball team, or 2.5. Goodness gracious, the season's flown by. But however long this season goes, this is my team. This is my team. I'm going to take control. I'm going to be that scorer. I'm going to be that offensive strength. And I'm going to be the guy that so many folks have asked me to be, but I haven't had to be, because I've had Zach, because I've had Mark. And he still has Zach, of course. But Zach is not the guy. He might try to be the guy for stretches, and he's still capable of doing that for stretches. But consistently, night in and night out, Mike Conley has to be the man. This is his chance to show that he can do that and show that he's worth whatever he's going to get paid next season, which is likely to be a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. But you look at the, like I said, you look at the crop of free agent point guards coming out. I mean, you got old. It's a bunch of old guys and unproven guys. You got Rondo, you got Darren Williams, you got Clarkson will be restricted from Los Angeles, and those are not really guys that really get you excited. And I don't think that you're going to want. You might be looking at the 8 seed in the West now, and you don't want to go into next season with Mario Chalmers as your starting point guard. That just spells me, honestly, as good as Chalmers has been, that spells lottery to me. So Mike's going to get whatever Mike's going to get, but I think we're going to find out exactly what type of player he is down the stretch here this season. And I think he can handle the load. They said last night he turned into a scorer. And timing is everything. Yeah, it's bad timing that Marc Gasol got injured, but Mike showed that he can be a scorer. We're getting Brandon Wright back after the All-Star break. So while obviously at the end of the day it is bad news, Marc Gasol could be out for the rest of the season, it could be worse, I guess I could say. It could be worse.
It could be worse, and I think that Brandon Wright, it's hard to depend on him because of the injury, but if he comes back and if he can be impactful – Mike Conley, Brandon Wright play or pick and roll sets are going to be pretty, and he's going to bring an aspect to the pick and roll game. You know, our own Andrew Ford broke it down on the site this week over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, and that was Ryan Hollins. And Ryan Hollins is not bad at rim runs and getting to the basket on the pick and roll. Brandon Wright is that much better than Ryan Hollins.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's going to bring a different dynamic to the offense, and it should allow for Mike Conley to get a little bit more space to work with, especially off of dribble penetration, off of that pick and roll. We're finishing up here with Ben Hogan. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already do so, at NotTheGolfer. He is the producer of the Eric Castletine Show over at 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. He is also a friend of this program, and we appreciate his time. We preview the week ahead here, Ben, and you know this. You've been the last guest in the past. Obviously, we only have the one game between now and our next show on February 18th after the trade deadline. They play the Nets Wednesday night. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a moment. But we also have the All-Star weekend, which everybody's a big fan of. We got the trade deadline. Let's start with the Nets game. We already broke that down some in terms of lineup possibilities, the craziness. After the news of the day, do you think that these Grizzlies in the last game before their All-Star break begins can get it together and pull out a win in Brooklyn, Ben?
I think they can. I think they'll kind of rally around, you know, the injury to Mark and say, hey, we got one more game till the All-Star break. We can beat these guys. Let's just go out there and play. And, you know, I think they're going to do what they can, give it their all, and then they have, you know, over a week to rest and recuperate and kind of figure things out from there. I think they're going to win.
I'm with you. I think they're going to win, too. I think they're going to pull it together. They're going to get their tails in line just in time to solidify their hold on that 5 seed. And like you said, figure things out over the next week or so. The All-Star break couldn't come fast enough for these Grizzlies, given the news of Marc Gasol's injury. Then that leads us to the All-Star weekend, Ben, and I'm going to give you the rundown of events, and I'm interested in your picks on these. I'm kind of throwing you to the wolves on this one, but like I said, I'm going to give you the names, so I'm just interested in terms of who you think is going to win. The first event that I have here, Ben, for All-Star weekend is the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. And again, Toronto is hosting the All-Star game this season. The Taco Bell Skills Challenge features big men for the first time in a while, if ever. I don't really recall having bigs doing this. But the 2016 participants are Patrick Beverley of the Rockets, DeMarcus Cousins of the Kings, Boogie doing this will be fun, Draymond Green of Golden State, Anthony Davis of New Orleans, C.J. McCollum of Portland, Karl-Anthony Towns of Minnesota, Isaiah Thomas of Boston, and Jordan Clarkson, who you mentioned earlier, of the Los Angeles Lakers. That is a star-studded field for the skills challenge. Who do you think is going to win this thing?
I'm going to take Draymond Green. I'm going to. He's been amazing this year, and he's shown that he can play a little point. I mean, he's been dishing it out a little bit. I know he's not going to have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson out there to pass to, but it's the skills challenge, and he's able to. He can pass with the best of them. So I'm going to take Draymond Green with this one.
I like that pick. I also think Anthony Davis could take it, but I'm going to go C.J. McCollum. This is a guy who is arguably, certainly, outside of maybe Draymond Green, the NBA's most improved player. C.J. McCollum cooked the Grizzlies in the playoffs last season. He cooked the Grizzlies on Monday night in Memphis as Portland defeated them. I think it's going to be C.J. McCollum, but Draymond Green and Anthony Davis are also honorable mentions there. And don't sleep on Isaiah Thomas, also having a great season for the Boston Celtics. That's another guy who could potentially have some success in that spot. All right, so that's the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. And then we have Slam Dunk. This is one that everybody likes to talk about at length. And this one has a little bit of Memphis flavor this year. Zach LaVine, who had a huge dunk contest last season, the defending champion is back from the Minnesota Timberwolves. You have Aaron Gordon, young athlete out of Orlando. You got Andre Drummond of Detroit, who I'm fascinated by. I can't wait to watch him, the big man, throwing down some jams. And then finally, I have a feeling I know who you're going to pick, Ben. Will Barton of the Denver Nuggets, Memphis's own of the Memphis Tigers. He is a participant. He is Will the Thrill has shown the capacity to throw down some pretty spectacular dunks of his own. Who do you got in the dunk contest?
I mean, I'd love to take Will Barton, but I can't. I think Zach LaVine's going to run away with it. I really do. I mean, I know everybody, it's the boring answer, but, you know, sometimes the boring answer is the right answer, and I think that it's going to be Zach LaVine.
It's going to be Zach LaVine. I was just testing your homerific response there. So you made the right call. I think Will Barton will probably do pretty well. I like Andre Drummond, like I said, but it's going to be Zach LaVine. He's going to do something even bigger and better than he did last year. And then finally, because we don't want to talk about the game itself because there's no Grizzlies in it, but more importantly, the game itself is terrible in my opinion. The three-point contest, which is just loaded. I mean, this really could be the best All-Star Saturday night I can remember. The 2016 participants for the three-point shooting contest, defending champion Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors, James Harden of the Rockets, Klay Thompson of the Warriors, Chris Middleton of Milwaukee, Kyle Lowry of Toronto, J.J. Redick of the Clippers, Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns, who would be my sleeper in this contest, and then finally Chris Bosh of the Miami Heat. Again, a star-studded field. Who do you have in the three-point shooting contest?
I'm gonna go J.J. Redick. I'm picking the Clipper. I don't care. I'm picking the Clipper.
I like it. I don't care. I'm just going with the guy that I honestly think is going to win. You know, I like the J.J. Redick pick. I think that's a solid one. I said Devin Booker is my sleeper. It's hard for me to pick against Stephen Curry. I think that it's possible that he loses, but I'm just going to go with Steph until proven otherwise. But I like your pick. I like the J.J. Redick one. If any of them have a shot, I think J.J.'s as good as any. And like I said, Devin Booker, the young guy, the folks are probably going to, you know, he's under the radar. I believe he's a rookie this year. That's a dude who can straight out, you know, stroke him from three. So I think he's got
a good
shot.
With Steph Curry, I think the three-point line might be a little too close for him.
Oh.
So I think he might get thrown off by having to take it from the actual three-point line instead of, you know, if they allow him to set it up, you know, 4 or 5 feet behind the three-point line, he should run away with it. But if he's going to have to shoot from the three-point line, I don't know. I don't know if he can handle that.
That's interesting. I like that. I that's an interesting perspective. It might be too close for him. That's good. Maybe he can go to the tunnel, and that'll help him, and maybe beyond the opposite side of the court as well. And then finally, again, this show will air Thursday, February 18th at 6:30 Central Time. This will be after the trade deadline. The trade deadline is at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday the 18th. So whatever goes down will have gone down by this point. I am curious as to how active you think the Memphis Grizzlies will be at the trade deadline, Mr. Hogan. Do you think Memphis makes a move? Who's the big? Well, let's start with that. Who do you think Memphis is going to move, if anybody, at the trade deadline?
I really don't see them moving anybody. Courtney Lee's the hot name out there, but you know everything I've heard is, you know, he may – they're not actively shopping anybody. You know, people have called about Courtney Lee, asked if he's available, but I just don't see them making any moves. There's not one move out there that'll put them over the top. And, you know, I think they do feel that they can still contend to make the playoffs this year, maybe not necessarily end up in the five seed that we were looking at, four or five seed that we were looking at, but – I do think they're confident in what they have now to still make the playoffs. So I don't think that they're going to make any moves. I just don't.
I said on Twitter earlier today that the Grizzlies are in basketball purgatory. They're too good to fall out of the playoffs and, you know, kind of warrant a complete rebuild without completely blowing up this team, which at this point doesn't make a ton of sense. And they're not good enough to compete with the top three teams in their conference. So they have to be the five seed or else they're going to get knocked out in the first round. So they're not in heaven. They're not in hell. They're in purgatory. There's no move that is going to get them out of either of those spots. I think that, again, outside of blowing it up, which they're not going to do, there's nothing that's going to get them out of the playoffs. And outside of making some ground-shattering move, somehow acquiring Blake Griffin or Boogie Cousins or somebody of that ilk, one of those superstars that has been rumored to possibly be on the trading block, because they don't have the assets, they're not going to get that guy either. So
right.
They're just kind of where they are, and something that I didn't always feel this way, but between talking with you and Jeff Calkins and other folks who I admire and look up to in terms of, you know, thinking on this stuff, we all are going to complain and we're going to be upset when they're eliminated and, oh man, they should have made this and they should have done that. Is there really anything better? And I've had an opportunity to do 3 years of this, and I covered it as a member of the media for one. There's nothing better than a playoff game in Memphis, in my experience. The city is alive, the playoff run, believe Memphis Grouse House. And some people make light of that, and that's okay. I understand the argument that titles should be the goal and that they're, you know, stumbling through basketball purgatory, like I said it. All that makes sense to me. But in those moments, and in a city like Memphis that can use that economic stimulation, that can use the good vibes that come with being them and the Spurs, the only two in the NBA over the past 5 years or so that have made the playoffs every year, that means something. It's not a championship, and it's not getting them closer to that per se, but it's continuing on a trend of success that has helped unite a city with a team that 5 years ago people weren't convinced was going to be there for the long run. So that has to mean something, and I agree with you, Ben. It's a lot harder than it sounds to do the things necessary to hit the reset button when you become so beloved with these players and you become so connected to the roster. This time is going to end at some point, but just because Marc Gasol is injured doesn't necessarily mean you need to hit the nuclear option. You can find ways, if you want, to reconfigure the roster, but at the same time, like you said, I think I'm leaning towards agreeing with you. There's no move that really moves that needle. If you can find young pieces on longer contracts or if you can find guys to help round your roster for next season, I think you execute that deal. I'm just not sure that's going to be out there on the market for these Grizzlies.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a franchise that, you know, the fans for the longest time have complained, we don't get the respect, we're not nationally relevant, no one's paying attention to us. Well, now that you've made the playoffs so many years straight, you're associated with the grit and grind. Everybody knows that you're a team that, you know, you play through the two bigs, you have an identity, and people are starting to recognize that, and all of a sudden you just want to throw that away and go back to where you were, you know, 5 or 6 years ago when you weren't making the playoffs and you were kind of a joke of the NBA and no one was paying attention to you. It just doesn't make sense. Everybody's not going to always be satisfied. They always see somebody has something to complain about, whether it be we're not getting the attention we deserve or let's just blow it up and start over. It's living and dying with your NBA team, and it's great. It's great to see the city rally around the Grizzlies, but you got to realize that, you know, staying in the playoffs, being nationally relevant, that's a lot cooler than holding a draft lottery party.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100% on that. I'm not into the lottery move, that was never my goal. Yes, it is probably this year more than any year in the history of playoffs, Memphis has .000001 chance of winning the NBA championship. Golden State, San Antonio, even Cleveland, and possibly even Oklahoma City are that darn good. but you have 0% chance of winning a title if you miss the dance. So I'm a big believer in getting there. I'm a big believer in giving yourself that opportunity and letting the chips fall where they may from there. But that's up for perspective and debate for sure. And then finally, Ben, I want to get you out of here on this. Doesn't necessarily be a Memphis Grizzly. You and I are kind of on the same page. We don't see a major move happening. Who is the biggest name in the NBA who was traded at the trade deadline?
It wouldn't surprise me if Jeff Teague's moved. Yep. It seems like he's the name that's been thrown around. Whether he stays in the Eastern Conference or not remains to be seen, but I think he's going to get moved. Schroeder's a good point guard for Atlanta. They'll be fine without Teague. I mean, Teague's great, especially during the playoffs, but it just doesn't seem like it. I think he's worn out his welcome with Atlanta and Budenholzer. So he's probably the biggest name that I see moved. You hear Dwight Howard every year, it seems like. I don't know if a team that's contending really wants to add Dwight Howard. If I was a contending team, I wouldn't want Dwight Howard.
I don't see Dwight Howard going. I do think that Jeff Teague is the guy. I agree with you on that again, Ben. Boring podcasting and radio. We're agreeing on everything, but I'm with you. I think Jeff Teague is going to be the guy, the biggest one moved. I think it's going to be relatively quiet. A lot of teams kind of timid. A lot of teams comfortable in where they are. And if there is going to be major moves, I think that's going to be down the road. But the NBA is crazy. It's very likely, you know, the Kings are unpredictable as crap. One day they're firing their coach, the next day Vlade calls him at lunch and maybe gets bribed with some, you know, hand-rolled cigarettes, and all of a sudden he's staying. George Karl is with the Sacramento Kings. So maybe Boogie gets moved, Boogie Cousins. Maybe a Blake Griffin after all the drama with the Clippers.
It'll be interesting, but I do think we're at a point. This season's kind of weird because, you know, it seems like the cream has already risen to the top. Like you mentioned,
absolutely.
You know, it's the Warriors, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Cavs. You know, maybe a team in the Eastern Conference feels like they can make a move to make a run at the Cavs, but you're not going to. I don't think you're going to make a run at any of the top three teams in the West. And then the salary cap expands next year, so there's not a lot of teams jockeying to clear up some salary cap room. So it's going to be. I think all those things combined equals a very quiet trade deadline.
We're on the same page, which is a good page to be on because you're a smart guy. Mr. Ben Hogan, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, as always. We look forward to having you on in the future.
I appreciate it, Joe.
All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Ben Hogan of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis, Eric Hasseltine's show. They do great work over there, and 92.9 has been very kind to us over the past year or so or past couple of years with guests and input and kind words about our site over at grizzlybearblues.com. So thanks to Ben, and thanks to all those at 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis for the great work they do and for being a part of our program. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and this has been a crazy show. You know, you throw outlines and plans out the window when your franchise center has a broken foot and you kind of figure out what's going on from there. It's going to be fascinating to see how this team plays out Brooklyn. I'm really looking forward to that game. This is a good preview of that. Make sure you're checking out grizzlybearblues.com for updates on Marc Gasol's health. Analysis will be coming in the days ahead, I'm sure. Of course, the game coverage for the Brooklyn game will be a major part of our process as well. And it's a gift in a way. It's a blessing in this first game. Brooklyn has no idea what Memphis is going to do. And that can be Dave Yeager's greatest gift, is being unpredictable and making a team that's struggling from the beginning, the Brooklyn Nets, really have to try to guess what is going to be coming at them on a Wednesday night before the All-Star break. Brooklyn's 3-10 in their last 10 games, or 3-7, excuse me, in their last 10 games. They're not playing good basketball. This should be a game that Memphis can win without Marc Gasol. So hopefully they can get it together, use that unpredictability to their advantage, and then head into the All-Star break with a record of 31-22. That would be a nice way to head into the prolonged time off. Next time we're going to be on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves will be February 18th at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. February 18th, that is a Thursday night. That'll be after the trade deadline, so whatever major moves had occurred in the next week or so will be decided by the time we hit the Blog Talk Radio airwaves. We will be the first show out there post-trade deadline. We can talk about all the moves that were made around the NBA and with the Grizzlies potentially. I'm with Ben Hogan. I'm not so sure anything happens. I'd like to see a major move in terms of not necessarily a Zach or a Mike Conley or a Tony Allen, but in terms of taking Jeff Green, Courtney Lee, Matt Barnes, turning them into a younger contract, into a guy who's here for the long term on a good deal. I think that would be a good idea, a rotation guy. I could get behind that. And, of course, if you can get a draft pick or a younger player, that's something they should be very interested in. Make sure that you are following Grizzly Bear Blues Live on Twitter for updates about the show, guest announcements, things of that nature. It's going to be a good show that next week. We're going to have Kevin Young of the site on to help break down trade deadline moves here and around the NBA. Make sure you're checking out the podcast version of the show on iTunes. Subscribe. Never miss another show or another episode of our show, Grizzly Bear Blues Live, or of the Chip Williams podcast. Make sure that you're checking out FanEssentials.net, our wonderful sponsor. Thank you to them for their sponsorship. And this is the question of the week. We did not have any correct responses last week to our trivia question, so nobody gets a membership to FanEssentials.net, which is a terrible shame because they're a fantastic service. Hopefully you will get this question right this week, and you will have an opportunity responding to this question at MullinaxJoe, MullinaxJoe, @gmail.com. You respond, give the correct answer, you're entered into a drawing for a month subscription to Fan Essentials. You're getting a wonderful, wonderful service and a wonderful gift, essentially, from Fan Essentials, earning it through GBB Live and Fan Essentials Trivia. So here's the question. You answer at MullinaxJoe @gmail.com to be entered into the drawing. The Memphis Grizzlies have had three All-Stars in their history. I want for you to name them. Simple. You have three All-Stars that you need to name. You don't have to give me the exact appearances or anything like that. I just want to know what the names of the three Memphis Grizzlies are who have been All-Star game participants, the game itself. All right, so that is the question this week. Respond, MullinaxJoe @gmail.com. You have until 9 p.m. Central Time Wednesday night, so that's going to be during the Grizzlies game or right at the end of it, depending on the East Coast start. A great opportunity for you to be a part of the FanEssentials.net subscription group for a month for free. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I hope folks are more positive. I'm trying to come around on it myself. The foot injury with the big man scares me. It scares me a good bit. We wish Marc Gasol, Big Spain, Wendigo, all the great nicknames, a great quick recovery, a full recovery so that he can be back, whether it's at the end of this season somehow or whether it's next season, which sitting here tonight feels more likely. Whenever it may be, we wish him a speedy recovery. We hope that he gets well, and we hope that he can come back bigger and better than ever as a NBA superstar and a great citizen of Memphis. And that has been proven throughout his time there, his work with St. Jude and his work with other charities, the Gasol Foundation. He's just a good all-around dude. We hope that he's able to come back from this, and he's one of the toughest son of a guns in the entire NBA. So whenever he's ready to come back, he's going to be back, and he's going to be strong. Hopefully he can maintain it. That is the hope here, at least. It's going to be an amazing next week or so, a break, supposedly, but you'd imagine there will be some phone calls being taken and made by the Memphis Grizzlies. It'll be interesting to see if they make any moves. If they do, we will have them broken down for you on our next episode. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.